folklore. Generation after generation, repeating stories their parents told them, whose parents told them, and whose parents told them. Memories and history are passed down, and sometimes those stories root fear into the minds of children, and they never learn how to pull up the plant. Tradition, beliefs, messages, and stories are passed within a community, and when those tales become too weird, the community gets questioned for them. How weird, a part of the world will think, while those on the other side echo the sentiment back. Sometimes these myths and legends hold details so impossible we all know them to be dramatized. But tellers ring the message true. And sometimes you have the usuri, the unexpected, smart and cunning, and acting with a vengeance. And a century later, the curiosity holds strong. Was this usuri the myth or the real one? And is this the worst animal attack to ever occur on Japanese soil? Welcome back to Tragedy with a View. I am your host, Kayla, and Karen is back.
Hello.
And Karen has not been here since we started using new microphones, and we're on new microphone set number two.
These are pretty cool.
And they have a fun little stand that actually, like, works, but we would need a table, and since we're doing this in my basement and we don't have a table...
That's okay.
Oops. I have a couple housekeeping things before we're going to get into the story. First, we have merch.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What kind of merch?
We have crew neck sweaters and t-shirts. And I basically didn't tell anyone because the night after I placed the order, I had a nightmare that I spelled tragedy. T-R-A-D-G.
Ugh.
And I was like,
that'd be a tragedy.
That would be a tragedy. So I'm planning to have them available February 1st. And I'm also going to try to figure out if there's a way that I can get Patreon members to get the link early.
Ooh.
I only got a few sizes. I only got a few of each size, and some of the t-shirts that I picked, the colors were out in the sizes that I wanted, and I didn't find out until after I placed the order.
Oh.
So I'm also really limited on color options for the t-shirts. So if anybody listening wants one, my suggestion is to look at it and purchase as soon as you're able. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to have the product in again. It might just be a little bit different of a variation. Plus, I'm kind of thinking of actually hiring someone to do some brand work for the podcast. So the look might change as well. So if you want the OG thing, have at it. If not, I understand. No big deal. Thank you for being here anyways. Speaking of Patreon members, February 1st, you are getting your first Patreon exclusive episode.
Ooh, there's exclusive episodes for Patreon members?
Yes.
Well, that's exciting.
So I don't know if it's going to be a monthly thing. Right now I have episodes planned for February, March, and April. That's only if recording can get scheduled and done in that time frame. Otherwise, it's going to be even months. February, April, June.
Gotcha.
But I've also got another surprise coming.
There's more?
There's more, but I'm not going to tell you here.
What?
You're going to know. You'll know when you know.
Do you have to know on the Patreon part or
nope,
for everybody?
It's going to be for everybody.
Okay. I can't wait.
Also, Patreon members, I want to let you know for this year, I'm going to run it this way for this year, but a percentage of profits that are made are going to be donated. I'm going to choose, well, we're going to have a list of options.
Oh.
And then if there's two tiers in Patreon, we've got a $4 tier and we've got a $6 tier. If you're in the $6 tier, you get to vote and choose where your money goes to. So I'm going to do like one big lump sum at the end of the year, partially because I have absolutely no idea
how much money that'll be.
Yeah. And if it's like $2, I'm going to donate the whole $2. But yeah, like if we make like a very little amount, I'm going to donate the whole amount. And then
you know, once we roll into 2025, we're going to look more at having a set amount go toward nonprofits monthly.
Ooh.
So again, people in the $6 tier are going to get to choose. People in the $6 tier are also going to get to know a couple of episodes that are coming up. You're going to get to pick if you want them, what month you want them, and if you want them to be a Patreon exclusive episode or if you want them out in the world for everyone.
So it sounds like if you just pay a couple extra dollars, you get to make all the decisions for this podcast.
You get to make some of the decisions. Not all of them. I have the option to override. Some of the more complicated things is like, you know, there's certain stories that I know clearly a certain person is better able to handle. Mm-hmm. For example, the next episode that's coming out is more along the true crime route. There's some gruesome pieces to it.
Oh.
And a couple of my friends who I've talked to about it, they were like, absolutely not. That would make me so anxious.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of friends who are like, yeah, I'm fine with it. Like, I'm a true crime junkie anyways, so might as well. So it's just like some of those things are going to be a little bit harder to
plan out.
Yeah, to plan out. So if I'm like, yeah, you want a Patreon exclusive episode for August and you're picking a true crime, it might not happen in August. It might happen in October because of that.
Whoever you're scheduling with.
Yeah, that constraint might just be too much. I'm going to do my best.
Makes sense.
Still
sounds like a better deal to pay the extra $2. So I'm just saying.
I mean, I think so. Your money is going to be going to good places. I'm pretty big on trying to give back everywhere that I can. And this is going to allow that impact to be bigger.
Yeah.
We're going to move on. I don't know how many minutes in we are, but we're going to move on.
Keeping there,
yeah. Are you ready?
I am prepared.
All right.
So I'm going to preface this episode with just to keep in mind, every source that I found had slightly different variations of the same information.
Oh, okay.
There's also some hints that this might be folklore.
And not actually true stories.
And maybe not a true
but also
story.
Isn't folklore kind of from true stories? Like,
so one of the resources or sources that I used mentioned that apparently in Japanese history, people have been very well known to keep extremely good records. And they just wrote down everything versus like other areas where they just tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And because that information is written down, it's easier for them to fact check information. That was a hard word to get out.
You put an extra T on there.
I did. But there's some information in some of these sources that are like,
could that happen?
And this also happened in 1915. It's not like it happened.
Oh, it's not that long ago.
Yeah. So I'm not going to say it's folklore. I'm also not going to say it's a true story. It's a very interesting story. And we're going to get started.
Okay.
The Yusuri is a species of brown bear that originated on Honshu, which is the main island of the four islands that make up Japan.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure that I'm pronouncing these names right. If anybody listening knows the correct pronunciation, feel free to reach out and correct me. I will be happy to make that a public correction. The Yusuri bear would be found all over Japan, China, Russia, and Korea, but they were driven to extinction on Japan sometime in the range of 15,000 years ago.
15,000 years ago.
15,000 years ago.
That was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. The Yusuri can still be found in Russia. However, only about 1,000 animals make up the population. These bears rival the size of Kodiak grizzlies, tipping the scales at 1,200 pounds,
to 1,500 pounds, which is about 545 to 680 kilograms.
That's a big bear. That's probably why they went endangered or whatever you just said.
Yeah.
Because people were afraid of them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I would also be afraid of them. I love bears, and I would be like, please stay away from me. I am not food. They are also generally more aggressive than the brown bears found in North America. And in case you don't know, brown bear is another name for grizzlies.
And they're quite aggressive already.
They're already aggressive. While Japan drove the species to localized extinction centuries ago, the population has come back and has been documented on the islands for hundreds of years. The Yasuri is dark brown or black in color. In an effort to help the species, four of these bears are now being housed at the Yorkshire Wildlife Park in the United Kingdom after a Japanese cultural museum requested help due to their cages being outdated and Japanese zoos were unable to take the bears in.
That sounds dangerous already. I can only imagine where this story is going.
This part is fine.
Okay.
Let me rephrase that. This part is now fine because the cages that the bears had been in were tiny and the bears had lived their entire 27 years there.
Like they grew up in that enclosure.
So the enclosures were like essentially the size of horse stalls.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you said these were like 1,200, 1,500 pound bears?
They're the size of a horse.
The whole horse stall, yeah.
Yeah. That's where they lived.
That's depressing.
So Yasuri bears can live to be 35, and bears are some of the slowest reproducing mammals as they tend to keep their cubs with them for 2 to 3 years. And she, the mama bear, mm-hmm. will not mate or have more cubs while she has her cubs with her.
And I'm assuming the cubs also are not mating within Correct. That time frame too.
Correct.
So that's a long time to have another baby.
Yeah. Like, I mean, so they go through a season that's like the I guess where they mate and then become pregnant, have the babies during their hibernation.
Yeah.
And then they have their babies with them for 2 to 3 years. So that's three to four seasons that they're not breeding. They live to be about 35. I'm going to guess that they're like other animals where they can continue having babies until they die, which would only mean that they're having like 10 sets of cubs.
Yeah. Like if that.
Yeah. If that throughout their life.
Yeah.
Bears typically enter a hibernation in early November and then leave their dens sometime in March. If it's a sow and she has had cubs while she was in hibernation, she will normally stay in the den a little bit later into April timeframe.
Like continuing hibernation?
Pretty much. Like,
oh. Okay.
Yep. However, this is an asterisk and it may just become something that's a little bit more normal. This year in particular, Russia is experiencing some really abnormally high temperatures. So bears are walking around, quote unquote, half asleep.
Oh, like not out of hibernation, but
they've somewhat entered their hibernation, mm-hmm. but they haven't denned up.
Oh, that also seems dangerous.
Yeah. And it's just because the temperatures are so warm that they haven't, like, there hasn't been that triggering cold to make them want to get into a den. But there's, I think the hibernation is still an important process for the bear to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And like their bodies are naturally trying to go into it. They're trying to enter the state, but the temperatures just haven't triggered it.
Yeah.
Additionally, bears do not enter a true hibernation as they are active in their dens and sometimes leave their dens in the winter, but their metabolic rate has slowed so much that they seem to be in a stupor, which is called torpor.
Interesting word.
Isn't it? Additionally, bears have a 2 to 3 week period after leaving the den where they haven't fully woken up yet, but they're not asleep, but they're also not fully functioning. So they call this time period the walking hibernation, which kind of sounds like what is currently going on.
With the whole global warming thing. And
yeah. Historically, Japan and bears do not get along.
in case the information about them driving them to localized extinction was not clear enough. In the early 1900s, so think like 400 to 500 year span, mm-hmm. 141 people were killed from bear attacks and 300 more were injured from bears. And that's only what was reported.
It kind of seems like a lot.
You know what? I didn't actually look to see, like, in comparison to North America, what the numbers are. But
I feel like it's, you know, only a few a year. Well, in, like, recent...
That we know of.
That we know of. That's
I mean,
true.
That's only really, like, what we're seeing.
Yeah.
That's only what's being reported are attacks, including people that had a brush with a bear. And because there weren't any injuries, they maybe told someone, but they didn't file a report, which means that there's no way to track that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information that can potentially be left out here that makes the numbers skewed in one direction or another.
Mm-hmm.
But since 1962, 68 attacks have been reported, with 33 of those being fatal. So that's a huge decrease. But also, Japan drove the bears to extinction.
There's less bears.
Also, more people. So on November 20th of 1915, the Akita family was having problems with a large male bear getting too close for comfort. It was thought that he had woken too early from hibernation and had started to make a habit out of eating their corn and the feed for their horses. So Mr. Akita got sick of this and hired two Matagi, who are specialists in killing bears.
So like their own bear hunters.
Yes. These two gentlemen sat with him and his son to wait for the bear to return so they could kill it. 10 days later, on November 30th, when the bear returned, the four men opened fire on it and wounded the bear before it took off. The four men followed the blood spatter in the snow. But after a snowstorm rolled in, they were forced to turn back without confirmation that they had killed the bear. Their hopes were that the bear would now be scared if it survived and would not return.
I don't think that happened. I'm going to guess already.
Tragedy with a view, everyone. On December 9th, Abe Mayu Ota was babysitting Hasumi Mikio, who was an infant when the bear entered their home.
Like inside the house?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
The bear first attacked the baby, killing it, and then turned its sights on Mayu. Defending herself with anything possible, she threw firewood and other objects, but the bear was too cunning. It overpowered her and then drug her out of the home and into the woods. When her husband returned home from working on the farm, he found the house in shambles, blood all over the floor, the baby lying limply with its skull crushed, and Mayu was nowhere to be found.
Oh my gosh. I can't imagine coming home to that sight.
No. Absolutely not. That would be terrifying.
Yeah.
The next morning, 30 men gathered to hunt for this bear and to search for what they were certain would be Mayu's body. It didn't take them long, as from the back of the farm, the men could see the bear at the edge of the woods. 5 shots at the bear later, the bear took off and the men converged on the area. There, they found telltale signs that at least one of their bullets had hit the bear by the blood splatter on the snow.
Like it was still there?
Yes.
Oh.
Like it wasn't even hiding.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's also a 1,500-pound bear. Not really, but
yeah.
We'll come to that. I mean, what does it have to be scared of? If it's that big of a bear, what does it have to be scared of?
Yeah.
And worse, what was left of Mayu's body? The bear had nearly completely consumed her, leaving only her legs and her head behind.
So just like ate her middle?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What?
Which is kind of like, I don't know why that makes me squirm.
Yeah, that's like gruesome to...
But it makes me like, head, okay. I don't squirm about my head being eight. But when you think about like torso.
Yeah.
No. No, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you. One villager had heard a man named Yamamoto Hikishi, who was considered the king of bear hunting and tracking. Yamamoto, unfortunately, was uninterested in helping because he was suffering from being an alcoholic.
Oh.
And in order to pay for his alcohol, he sold all of his guns.
Doesn't seem like he could help anyway.
might be going in the wrong direction, if you know what I mean. This bear had sparked fear in the village as they thought that once the animal had tasted human blood, that they would start to crave it. So a nightly watch was set up at the Ota farm.
Was that the farm that it ate the baby?
Correct.
Okay.
The following night, the bear returned, and with it, panic. Of course. The villagers who were armed at the Ota farm saw its shadow moving in the brush, and in the panic and the confusion, only one man shot off his gun. And then the armed guards at the home of Miyoki Yasutaro took off in that direction to help bring the bear down. So there were like multiple families staying within this one home.
Okay.
And when I say home, they're not like houses that we built. It was 1915. I actually have a picture of
the house, or quote unquote house.
Quote unquote house.
Oh, that's a shack.
Yes.
Okay.
So, listeners, of course, I'm going to be posting this on social media. If you have been to this area of Japan, you've already seen the pictures that I'm going to be posting because they made a recreation of it.
Oh, like the house, they remade it in
yeah.
the spot, probably?
Yeah.
Oh.
Inside the house of Yasutaro was Yayo Yasutaro, her three sons, Take Sato, four other children, and a single armed guard who stayed. So all of the other guards took off in the direction of the Ota home because there was mass confusion there because they saw the bear. Only one shot got fired. The bear was there.
Yeah.
A quiet settled on the home, and the sounds from the rush of the guards leaving the home got farther away. Then, through a window, Yayo saw the bear. She didn't have time to react before it smashed through the window and entered her home.
Wait, so was this the same home?
This is a different home.
This is a different home. Okay.
This is a second.
I was imagining the same home for some reason.
Second home. I don't know that they've patched up the wall that he came through the first
That's
time
true.
Yet.
Yeah. Probably just destroyed the whole house.
Maybe.
It's not a
There's
very,
potential.
Yeah.
It's truly a shack.
It is a shack, yeah.
In the chaos, the only two lights, the flame lighting the cooking stove and an oil lamp, were tipped over and put out. The home plummeted into darkness, and Yayo, with one son on her back and another clinging to her leg, tried to run with them, but she tripped.
Oh, no.
The bear attacked them, biting Yayo and the son that she had on her back, but then quickly turned his attention to the guard, allowing Yayo and both sons to escape to the streets. As the bear angled towards the guard, Yayo's third son was attacked and killed. The guard, who tried to hide behind furniture, was mauled, and then the bear turned toward the pregnant woman.
Oh, like that she had just ran out?
She...
I'm assuming the street isn't very far, though.
No. She was still inside of the home.
Oh, this is another lady.
This is a different lady.
Okay.
Yes. She... I guess I didn't explain it very carefully, but there were two women,
okay.
seven children, one guard, one of the women was pregnant.
Okay.
The other woman had a baby on her back. Sounds great, right?
It sounds tasty.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I was speaking for the bear there.
Oh, Karen the bear. So... the pregnant woman, begged him not to kill her baby, to not touch her belly, and she was backed into a corner. Surprisingly, her belly was untouched. However, the bear killed and consumed parts of her.
How? That?
Left inside of the home were two other children.
The untouched.
Untouched.
This is very confusing.
There's a lot of, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of names that kind of sound alike. And there's also not a lot of people. There's a lot of people that aren't named.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just confusing, like, what the bear is doing. Like,
the bear
is just, like, rampaging.
Is rampaging.
Selective and
the people who are the most scared, that's who the bear is going after.
Oh.
So, meanwhile, Yayo found the guards in the street and told them what was happening in her home. And then they started to plot how to kill the bear before it killed them. The first idea they had was to set the house on fire, but this would then kill anyone who was left inside. So they then split up. 10 guards went around to the front of the home, and the rest went to the back. The group in the back started banging on the home and shouting to drive the bear out of the front of the home. To their joy, it worked. The bear came barreling out the front door, but the 10 guards, trying in vain to hunker down and hide to wait for the bear, were too close together when they stood, and some blocked the sights of others. While a few got shots off, none hit the bear, and it escaped to attack another day.
Are you serious? This bear.
It's smart, and it's cunning.
Yes.
And they then entered the home to see the true damage done, and found the pregnant woman was the wife of the one and only Yamamoto. Their baby, however, was alive, though only for a short time.
Aww.
After a few days of relative peace, the neighboring town of Hoboro sent a team of 6 snipers to assist in killing this bear. Some of them began to believe it was what is known as the Kasagaki, which is responsible for killing multiple others, and the name loosely translates to the diagonal slash from the shoulder.
Oh, like your whole body.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. That's very depictive.
Yes. It is said that the spirit of this bear was evil and a demon.
That makes sense.
In this group of snipers was none other than Yamamoto.
He's got some revenge.
Oh, yes, yeah. He does. He now has a motive. Okay. First, they tried waiting for the bear, but after several days of it refusing to come into the village again, they started acting on other plans. Next, they used the body of a victim to try to lure the bear out of the woods. And again, after several days, this plan also failed. Finally, 60 of the men gathered on the night of December 13th, armed with guns and several guard dogs, and they walked into the woods. From a bridge, they saw the bear. Opening fire, the bear, again, was shot but escaped.
This is a smart bear.
This is a very smart bear. The next morning, Yamamoto and 2 others went back out to the bridge and found the blood splatter from the bullet that hit the bear the night before. The trio followed the blood and found the bear resting underneath of an oak tree. Quietly and on his own, Yamamoto moved forward 50 yards away, closed it down to 40, then 30, and finally 20 yards, when he shouldered his gun and quickly shot off 2 rounds. One struck the bear in the heart and the other in the head.
But did it die? I'm going to say it didn't.
The bear was about 9 feet tall, or 2.25 meters, and only weighed 750 pounds, or 340 kilograms. So yes, it died.
Oh, okay.
The bear that this bear was supposed to be is so much bigger.
Yeah, like twice that size.
That it makes me think either one. Of course, if this is a true story,
mm-hmm.
Either one, this was a young bear who might have lost its mother at a young age and didn't know how to properly hunt for food.
And it was just going for the easy target.
Yeah. There's one theory. There's the second theory that it was old and sick and going for the easy targets.
Uh-huh.
And then there's also...
It wasn't the bear.
Third theory. but then you also have to think about this town was like a relatively new settlement in the area. And so they were basically encroaching on these animals.
So they probably built their houses in the territory where the bear was hunting.
So of course the bear is going to get its food where the bear always got its food previously. Of course, you know. Not long after this whole incident, everyone abandoned the town.
Yeah, that sounds wise.
3 years later, after the attacks, the child who was on Yayo's back that was bit died due to complications he suffered from the injuries left by the bear.
But 3 years later?
3 years later.
That's quite a long time, honestly.
It is. I agree. It is. Especially if... you know, the injuries are what eventually brings you in. Like, that had to have been pretty severe.
Yeah.
I also read somewhere that the guard, like, a year later or something, was working and fell into a stream and drowned.
Oh.
So, I mean, the town is clearly in a bad place.
Yeah.
Today, there is a shrine at the home of the Otas, which includes a reenactment of the bear attacking the home with a statue of Kasagaki.
The king hunter? Or
The devil bear.
The devil bear. Okay. I'm getting all these names mixed up.
Japanese folklore is famous for bears being both guardians and demons of the forest, and some beliefs state that the bear was half human and they were to be worshipped. The bear in this incident was believed to be so smart and so cunning that he had the ability to mimic humans.
Oh.
And the information presented in multiple articles implied that the second attack. So
on the second house.
Yeah, the second house, there were a whole bunch of people there. There was a whole bunch of armed guards there. It implied that the bear knew that there were these guards at this home. And so he lured them away so that way he could attack the home.
And I mean, that's a pretty smart bear. Once again.
That's very, very smart bear. I mean, he mimicked humans and all.
Or there was two bears in or my there other were. Theory.
There's more. Part two coming next week.
That 1,500 bears still out there.
And to answer the question in my intro, this is the worst animal attack to have ever been recorded in Japanese history.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And here's the reenactment in the town.
Oh man, that's a very big bear.
That is a very big bear. And then there's
as tall as the house.
This one also.
It's like climbing. Okay.
It's going through a window, it looks like.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, accurate. Yeah, that's my fun.
My original thought when you said like the bear like went through the house, and I didn't know the picture of the shack yet, and I was like, how is the bear getting in the house? They just like leave the door open? But
yes,
there's, I don't think there was a door.
There's plenty of stories today where bears get into people's homes that were, they had closed doors and
really?
Like maybe an open window, and the bear was like, oh, let me just hunker in through here.
In the window.
And they get into cars. And I mean, I feel like bears almost make me think of very large cats. Like they're they're very curious. They want to know what's up. But if they're startled, they'll attack you.
Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to have like really good sense of smell too, right? So.
And if you try to fight them off, they're just going to fight worse.
Yeah.
They just make me think of really big cats.
So are you going to get one and snuggle one?
Maybe. No, I've got one on my arm already. I haven't named it yet, but
are you gonna name it after
Kasagaki?
Kasagaki, yeah.
What do I name the whale?
Shamu.
Shamu. Okay, that's fair. For people who don't know, I have a tattoo of a whale and a bear on my arm, and the whale is like coming up out of the water, and the bear is sticking its paw down into the water to kind of like touch and be playful and such. So that's what we're talking about. But yeah, that's my story today. Karen, thank you for joining me.
Absolutely.
Listeners, thank you for listening. And be sure to jump on Patreon, because the first story that I have is very interesting.
Ooh.
And that's all I'm going to say about it.
Get that $6 deal.
$6. Or if $6 is too much for you, I got a $4 option. You have options.
Don't forget to get your t-shirts too.
Yeah. Or the sweaters. Oh my God. One of the sweaters I ordered for myself.
Okay.
I like added a size for me. But then I got the other sweater option in. And I was like,
is that one better?
Oh, I need one of these too. So if you guys don't buy out my size by March 1st, one of those is just going to become mine.
I think you need it anyway.
All right. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Please take a moment to rate and subscribe from wherever you listen to Tragedy with a View. To get access to ad-free episodes, bonus content, and more, please join us on our Patreon. The link will be in the show notes. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and to share a story of your own, send us a campfire confessional email at tragedywithaview@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.